He is a professional movie critic. His website's aisleseat.com. His Twitter handle, @aisleseat. His sponsor, the Campus Theater Lewisburg. His books, Straight Up Blatant and My Year of Chevy. And his awards all over the bookshelf in his viewing studio at home. Movie Mike McGranahan is on board. Thank you, sir.
Good morning.
Thanks for coming in. Very much appreciated. All right. M. Night Shyamalan's Glass. Mm-hmm. What do you know?
M. Night Shyamalan's new film, Glass, is half a sequel to Unbreakable and half a sequel to Split. Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson, and James McAvoy returned as their respective characters from those two movies. They're all placed in a mental institution by a psychiatrist played by Sarah Paulson. She tries to convince them that their special abilities are not superpowers, but actually the symptoms of mental illness. The first 80 minutes of Glass are shockingly boring. You'd expect the three main characters to interact. Instead, we mostly get to watch them having individual therapy sessions. That's not exactly thrilling, and for the longest time, it's not clear whether the movie is ever going to have something happen. At that hour and 20-minute mark, Jackson's character finally announces his evil plan. It sounds really great. Instead of showing us that, Glass opts to have everybody hang out in the institution's parking lot, where McAvoy briefly fights Willis's stunt double, but mostly they all just stand around and talk some more. Shyamalan is trying to tell a story about comic books, superheroes, and supervillains. What he says is obvious, though, and the way he says it had me looking at my watch and wondering when this lousy movie was going to be over. On a scale of 1 to 4, I give it 1.5, 6 senses.
What happened?
He's just kind of full of himself with this movie. I don't know how else to say it. With Unbreakable, if you remember back to that movie in 2000, it kind of starts off and you think maybe you're watching something like The Sixth Sense that's a paranormal thriller, and the big reveal at the end was that it's really about comic books, that Bruce Willis's character is actually kind of a superhero and Samuel L. Jackson's character is his mirror image, the supervillain. And then with Split, that seemed like it was just a movie about a guy with multiple personalities kidnapping women, but in the last 20 seconds, you realize that it's a connection to Unbreakable and that they're setting him up as the villain for this next movie, and this is that next movie. But the problem is that M. Night Shyamalan really is a one-trick pony, and he ends this movie with the same kind of surprise twist that he has in all of his movies. You sit there waiting for it to come. When it does come, it's completely stupid. It has really very little to do with anything else. It doesn't make any sense. So this whole movie is just a misconceived attempt to pay off something that he set up in two previous movies.
Did this irritate you?
A little bit, yes.
Okay, thank you.
I wanted to like it. I really did. I keep hoping that M. Night Shyamalan will knock one out of the park again, but he really hasn't. The Sixth Sense was his one great movie. Unbreakable and Signs were okay, but everything else he's made has just been garbage, and this is the latest one.
And he has made quite a... This is, what, the third or fourth time you've given a negative review to one of his films.
Oh, I mean, this and The Last Airbender and The Village, After Earth, Lady in the Water. I mean, you know, his movies just generally are very bad because he keeps trying to do the same thing over and over and over again, and we've seen that thing.
In The Village, that was the one where it's the people, some sort of an enclave or something.
Right, right. I mean, I literally figured out the plot twist in that movie within the first 30 seconds.
Okay.
That's how obvious it was.
All right, well, I won't give it away. In case that one is, well, you probably gave that about two.
I think it was like a two, yeah.
Yeah, two isolated villages or something, because I thought it was 1% interesting, although the ending was very disappointing. But that's another topic. Okay, so Glass, 1.5?
6 senses.
All right.
In honor of his only really great movie.
His fabulous movie, yeah, that was a good one. Okay, M. Night Shyamalan, 1.5 of those. Mm-hmm. All right, Oscar nominations are out. Let's do a real quick review and some reaction. Any surprises, any snubs? That happened with these nominations?
Well, yeah, there were a lot of surprises. I mean, there are 8 Best Picture nominees: Bohemian Rhapsody, The Favorite, Black Panther, Black Klansman, Green Book, Vice, A Star is Born, and Roma. And this was sort of a weird year because 2018 was one of the best years for movies in the 20-some years I've been doing this. And yet, I don't really think the Oscars totally reflected that. I think there were a bunch of cases where films and performances that really deserved to be nominated were kind of left out in favor of other films and performances that were not quite at that same level. So it's just a little bit weird this year. There are some controversies in all of this. In the case of The Favorite, It was nominated for Best Picture. Olivia Colman was nominated for Best Actress, and Emma Stone and Rachel Weisz were nominated for Best Supporting Actress. But if you've seen The Favourite, as I have, Emma Stone is not a supporting actress in that movie. She is a co-lead. So this is a case of category fraud, where now she's in the supporting actress category, and somebody else who would have been really worthy and who actually was a supporting actress got locked out of that category because Fox Searchlight decided to campaign Emma Stone in the wrong category. So it's just a lot of little
controversy. Oh, and that did it. They're campaigning.
They campaigned for her as best supporting actress. Okay. And if you see the film, and it does open locally this weekend, I know a lot of people have been waiting for it. When you see a film, you'll see that she is a co-lead.
And so she'll be not a shoe-in, but she'd be a favorite going into the Oscars?
Probably so, because her screen time is much greater. She has much more to do than the other actresses in the Best Supporting Actress category. So it really tilts things in an unfavorable way towards everybody else.
And if she had been in the Best Actress category, mm-hmm. would she she'd still be a contender, mm-hmm. but would she have won that? I mean, just a theory?
I don't think so, because clearly what they were doing, Olivia Colman is one of those actresses that we've all seen in a million things, but you probably didn't know who she was. After you see this movie, you will know forever who she is. She is just that good, and I think that she's the favorite to win, no pun intended. But clearly Fox Searchlight felt that she was their best shot at winning an Oscar here, and so they didn't want to put Emma Stone in the same category because that might have split the vote. So they put Emma Stone in the wrong category, and that now gives her an opportunity to win because, like I said, her part is much bigger than everybody else's and she has more to do. So the whole Oscar thing is just kind of, it just shows you there's a whole political element to it in the way that certain actors or films are positioned.
Any glaring omissions? Somebody clearly was superior but wasn't on the list?
I was devastated and shocked that Ethan Hawke did not get a Best Actor nomination for his work in First Reformed. He is been on fire at all the Critics Awards, and everybody has just raved about his performance, which is so good, and he got shut out of the Best Actor category.
By?
Well, it's hard to pick any one person that you know.
Bumped him off the list, yeah.
It personally, if this was me, Willem Dafoe was nominated for Ad Eternity's Gate, where he plays Vincent Van Gogh. I love Willem Dafoe. He does what he can with the movie, but it's terrible material. You know, so I would have put Ethan Hawke in there over him, but that's just my opinion. Okay. But there again, you know, there was somebody whose performance was acclaimed. He was getting all these Critics Award nominations, and then the Oscars came, and they went with kind of this left field choice as opposed to somebody who gave what most of us agree was one of the best, if not the best, male performances of the year. And same thing for John David Washington in Black Klansman. He did not get nominated for that. His co-star Adam Driver got nominated. Spike Lee finally got nominated for Best Director for that film. The movie itself got nominated for Best Picture, but the actual star of the movie didn't get nominated.
Okay, so that's a big change. All right, so anything else about the Oscars? That's good lists, mm-hmm. good nominations.
Yeah,
everything else pretty straightforward?
I don't think that the nominees are terrible, and there's nobody I would really take issue with. It's just a matter of some of them. And here again, Bohemian Rhapsody, I enjoyed it. Bohemian Rhapsody is not one of the eight best films of the year. I'm sorry, it's just not. And anybody who has seen more than eight movies in 2018 would probably agree that it is not one of the best films of the year.
What is going to be the best Oscar contender? What do you think will win? Let me do that, not what you think, because I know what your good choices might be.
Right now, Roma seems like it has the momentum to win. That could change as we get closer because the race tightens up. It would seem to be between Roma and Green Book, but I think that at this point, Roma probably has the edge.
All right, we'll keep an eye out for those. All right, so that's the Oscar nominations. A big ceremony coming up. That is what, March or April?
February, Sunday, February 24th.
Oh, right around the corner. Okay,
yeah.
Less than a month from now. All right, Bryan Singer, embattled sexual misconduct allegations and still working.
Bryan Singer, who directed part of Bohemian Rhapsody, they fired him midway through the shoot. A very damaging article came out this week. He's had these allegations made about him for a long time in terms of sexual assault of young boys. And there was an article in The Atlantic this week that just really brought out a lot of new information, very credible accusations. So very damaging article for him. But Millennium Films has announced that they are going to continue to pay him $10 million for his next movie, which is a remake of Red Sonja. The head of Millennium Films literally called the accusations fake news and said he was going to pay Bryan Singer the $10 million for his next film. So this is very controversial, and we'll have to see what happens.
And the misconduct charges, some of them involve him when he's, this is maybe 10 years ago, something in that range, with teenage boys,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes. And I won't go into the specifics, but if you read the article, it's very, very graphic. It's okay. Very disturbing what he is alleged to have done.
Okay. So, yeah, this is completely inappropriate. Age differences aside, it's bad behavior all around. And Brian Singer, still out there directing away, despite the latest allegations.
Yep.
It's Friday. We hope to see what's new at the movies, and where will we see you?
Today I'm going to see Serenity, which is a new movie with Anne Hathaway and Matthew McConaughey. We've also got the family film, The Kid Who Would Be King, and two Best Picture nominees, The Favorite and Green Book, finally open locally today.
Yeah.
I recommend both of those.
It's a miracle. Thank you so much, Movie Mike.
Thank you.
Sponsored by the Campus Theater, Lewisburg, campustheater.org. More about them. Follow them on Twitter, as I do, @ILC.